up quick at about noon.
So I guess you have a choice. Let's go.
This is the lowdown. The lowdown. Damian Barley.
D-Lo.
Jason Ross.
Jay Ross. What up?
The lowdown.
Y'all ready for the lowdown?
Yay!
It must be 12 o'clock. My station's on live. Take your positions. Time for D-Lo. Jay Ross and I and we're play official list. Noon to 3 o'clock. You know they hot just from the intro. This the lowdown.
Your guys' pre-show routine is getting really, really long. You're going to have to start doing it at like 11:30.
We might.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome in. Thanks for being with us. Of course it would be. We got to do it every day. It's still a thing.
Yes.
But you guys don't know this. We go through this. You probably do. I think we've told you before. We go through this whole routine before we start the show. We still do it as if Ken is here.
Absolutely. Still included.
Ken is still to the right of me, and I throw my hand out there like he's going to dab it back. And then your routine with Chris has, like, grown over the course of the last few months. Like, we do it. It's all quick, and I'm getting ready, and you guys are still going and going and going all the way up until Wordplay's done talking.
A lot of it has to do with my love of wrestling.
That's what it is. It's
the
sure
really bad thing, Jason, is when you're gone, Damian tries to fill in, like, the stepdad.
I did that.
And
like,
he sort of does it, but it's just not the same.
It's like I kind of, like, fake my way through it, and thank you. You can't. All right. Just start over. Hit the intro.
Oh, can we do it all again?
Yeah, except for that. Welcome in. Happy Thursday. A little Friday for many of you. We appreciate you so much for being with us and making us a part of your day. I'm Damian Barling, along with the icon, the main event, and the show stopper, one Jason Herbert Walker Ross. It is Thursday. As I just said there, which means the new NFL week is going to kick off, which means the new fantasy week is going to kick off. Nate Lundy, your fantasy football expert from the Fantasy Football Hour, the nationally syndicated Fantasy Football Hour, will be with us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. And we got the game for you here tonight. Kings don't play till tomorrow. They'll be in Chicago. So we got Thursday night football coming your way. Washington is in Dallas. We will dissect that game. At the top of the 1 o'clock hour, Jay Ross, I did a lot of research on this game yesterday, kind of trying to – actually, I did a lot of it over the course of the week because we were looking into the NFC earlier this week and was looking at Dallas and Washington, and it's so easy to point to Ezekiel Elliott. It's so easy to point to Tyron Smith not being 100%. Zach Martin missed a bulk of the game against the Chargers on Thanksgiving night. It's not that. There's a lot of other problems besides those. In fact, when you look at those numbers, there's nothing glaring about what's going on with the Dallas Cowboys, and we'll present them to you. And the complicated part about that is when you look at the run numbers, when you look at some of the different things, what is going on with them? Mm-hmm. Like, how has their offense become so bad? They've literally gone from first to worst in the last 3 weeks. So we will dissect that. At the top of the 1 o'clock hour, if you did not hear or see DeMarcus Cousins explain the Titanic, I cannot encourage you enough to stick around for that. We will have that coming up for you in just a little bit. No Kings last night. No linear championship defended last night. It was just kind of a chill night watching the games that were available.
There's a linear championship on the line tonight, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There absolutely is. And we are just a handful of days from that linear championship. Potentially, we need the Cavs to hold on to it. It could potentially be defended against the Sacramento Kings in Cleveland next week.
So we figured out it's happened once. The Kings have played for the linear championship once this year. They missed that opportunity. Season opener against the Rockets. Mm-hmm. But that'd be a tough linear championship to try to take away. But, you know, be the champ, you got to beat the champ. And so to beat the Rockets, they couldn't do that. Now if they get the Cavs, if it's still in play next week, I think it's, what, 12-game win streak for Cleveland?
12, yeah.
If that happens, they got to win tonight and a couple more, but we shall see. We'll be tracking it.
Man, this sure feels like a quiet it'd be 12 then. I think it's 9 now.
Yes.
It sure feels pretty quiet.
Yeah, but I guess we're not talking about panic in Cleveland for the moment. And I think anytime they win a couple, then we go away from that. Now it's been 9 in a row, and all things are good, even with this Derrick Rose thing kind of looming out there.
Yeah, Derrick Rose is out. Kevin Love had a dropped 38 on him the other night. LeBron got thrown out. That's what people were talking about. Just keep moving along. Oh, by the way, again, we brought it up with Sam Amick yesterday when he was with us. Isaiah's around.
Yeah.
It's
sooner than later,
December,
right?
December has been mentioned, and we don't know if you would assume that meant Christmas. It's not for sure.
Right.
But, as you do with social media now, you kind of float stuff out there. And Isaiah, LeBron, the Cavs, all their different social media accounts floated stuff out there about Isaiah potentially being ready in December. And, by the way, tomorrow, it's December 1st.
Yeah, it's here.
So we could be talking about him any minute. You get your Christmas shopping done?
Nope, still not there yet.
Okay.
How about you?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Sure.
Yep, got a lot of people to buy for there. Okay. Definitely do. Okay. What else we got? Well, let's get into we'll get to the Warriors. He never calls this early. I'm actually curious.
Agenda.
Yeah, he always does. Hi, JR.
Happy holidays.
Yes. Yeah,
hi, JR.
Thank you. Merry Christmas,
hey,
JR.
How you doing, buddy?
Good.
UCLA versus Texas. Texas Bowl.
There you go. Game of the year.
Accepted. Hey, so I was talking about the California Linear Championship. I was watching the Lakers try to beat the Warriors, which, of course, Kings had no problem with. Of course, we beat the Lakers. We beat the Warriors. The L.A. Clippers game screwed us up. You know, we had that game, and we basically lost the Linear California Championship. And it just got back to me. It's a haunting feeling to look back a week ago and realize we let that slip out of our hands.
That is a shame.
It was a shame, a crying shame. I can't wait to see Rudolph. I can't wait for you guys to do your holiday magical show. Is that coming up soon?
Every day.
Every day is magical, JR.
Like every day. Love you.
I can't believe I let him on this early. Like, what was I thinking? Thanks, JR.
He's festive. He's feeling good.
He is very festive. Let me be the very first. When do you start wishing people? When do you start dropping the happy holiday, Merry Christmas line? It sure feels awfully early when it's November 30th.
Yeah, not till. I mean, people have their lights up. I mean, that's fine. I always felt like Thanksgiving was the right. After Thanksgiving is acceptable. I don't yet. Mm-hmm. It's going to be last weekend's chore. It'll be this weekend.
Do you have a tree?
Not yet. Okay. That'll be this weekend.
So all that stuff is going up this
weekend. It's happening this weekend.
All right.
So how about you?
Big weekend at the Ross house.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
No, I don't.
Not a lot of decorations and stuff?
You walk into my house, you wouldn't know it's Christmas.
Well, at least you're not one that puts them up and then it's like March. Hey, Damian, why are the lights still up?
See, that could potentially happen, right?
For
I
took the time to put them up. I'm going to leave them up there for a while.
Yeah, I'm sure the neighbors would love it.
And then it's like September. Well, why take them down?
It's almost Christmas.
Yeah.
It's almost Christmas. I really feel like we should start over. Completely start everything over. Hey, thank you to everyone who has rated the new KHDK app. I know it's annoying when apps ask you to rate them. You don't have to write a review, though. It would be fantastic if you did. If you just click the star button, however satisfied you are with the app, and please forgive us for the two or three commercials that just air on repeat. The app is very, very new. Our wonderful account executives are working on building a commercial inventory for the KHDK app, so you might hear the same two or three commercials for the entire commercial break, but you do get to listen to this show and all of your favorite shows here on Sports 1140 on your phone. You can listen to them live or at your convenience, as there's an on-demand section that goes along with our podcast. So if you haven't downloaded it yet, go to your app store, no matter what your smartphone device is. You could do it there on your laptop as well, and you could do it on your iPad, tablet, whatever it is. Download the KHDK app. Never miss a show.
Getting good feedback from several people out there about the app, so that's awesome.
Yeah, I know a lot of people have been frustrated in the past with, like, Radio Online and TuneIn and some of those things like that, and how I think we're still on the TuneIn app. We're not on Radio Line anymore. Radio Online, I know people have gotten frustrated with those before. Well, all that frustration is gone.
Yep.
Because this app is ours. It is the KHDK app, so go to your app store and download that now. And again, thank you to all the people who have rated it. You have to have a certain number of submissions and ratings before it starts to appear. And I noticed last night they had started to appear.
Oh, good.
So that's really good for us. It helps us get noticed. It helps the app grow, and thus it helps.
Awesome.
Helps the app sell, and the same two commercials. And I heard they're not the most. They're kind of downers. They're sad commercials, so I apologize for that. Yeah, but thanks for bearing with us. And you won't miss Nate Lundy when he joins us at 2 o'clock to set your fantasy football teams up. Don't text your fantasy football questions just yet. We do have the text line in front of us here at 44-11-40. Save those for right around 2 o'clock. If we get too many now, I'll lose them, and I apologize for that. But if you get us right around 2 o'clock, we will be able to get your fantasy football questions to Nate. I think we're about 2 weeks away, maybe, from fantasy football playoffs. So a lot of people fighting for a playoff spot, including one Jason H.W. Ross.
Just got to get in.
Got to get in, man.
I think my team is dangerous. I'm one of the point leaders.
You could be a New York Giant, Baltimore Ravens, which is amazing, by the way, that you're one of the point leaders. And me, I'm winning fantasy football games with scores of 70. Mm-hmm. And if it came down to points, I probably wouldn't even make it.
Yeah.
But I managed to play every team on their worst week.
That's good.
I played a young lady who was set to destroy me, but she had Michael Crabtree in.
Oh.
And you can bet I popped when Michael Crabtree got tossed. And that is probably the sole reason why I won.
Which, I mean, it is the way our league is set up. I've always felt it's humorous in fantasy football to have head-to-head. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like I literally can do anything to slow down your team and vice versa. But that's the way a lot of leagues are done, head-to-head. I've always felt points should be more important.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the way a lot of leagues are.
Yeah, I completely agree. A couple of things here on the text line before we move along to some of last night's basketball games. 44-11-40. Can we listen to the Kings games on the app? No, you cannot. That is a licensing issue with the NBA. There isn't a single flagship station in the country that will allow you to listen to Kings games on the app.
It's NBA property.
NBA property. You can only listen through the NBA. So, no, that is the one thing you will not get, at least the one Northern California thing that you will not get on the new KHTK app, and that's Kings games. Of course, you won't get you won't get any live sporting
events. Live sporting events.
You won't get the Thursday night football. That won't be up tonight because that's property of the NFL. We've tried to explain that stuff before. We know it's frustrating. Our apologies for that, but that's just not something that they allow us to do. How about this one, J. Ross? I listen to the show every day on the app while I'm at Sac State. Good stuff. Sac State signed their football coach. Yo, boy.
Stingers up. Jody Sears gets a new contract.
And he's going to join us today at about 2:45. We'll talk about that. I wonder if Jody was on the short list for the University of Tennessee. Have you been contacted yet by the University of Tennessee?
My people are telling me there's been some talks.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think
they're interested. I don't know what I'm going to do, what offense or defense.
I have been contacted to bring the three of us in as a package deal.
Okay.
Similar to the one that Dante Stallworth tweeted about last night. Mm-hmm. Dante Stallworth, former wide receiver at the University of Tennessee, mm-hmm. great political commentator as well on Twitter. He noted it was Lane Kiffin and T. Martin is a package deal for Knoxville that was turned down by, I'm not sure who turned that down. I can tell you there have been talks to bring Jason and I in to run that program.
What's Chris's role in our football coaching tree?
Social media coordinator.
Oh, okay.
And he's good at that.
Yeah.
Gift specialist.
He is specialist. He is very, very good at social media coordinating.
He's got that gift.
He does.
Yeah.
He's got that gift for sure. So we'll talk with Jody later on this hour here. Warriors-Lakers, that was fun last night.
It really was, and I know
14 minutes in, let's start the show.
The Warriors are going to take every team's best shot, but I was impressed with – this is the kind of game last night that we want to see every once in a while from the Kings. Not that they won, the Lakers. I'm talking about one individual. Brandon Ingram was sensational.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so when you have a young player or a couple of young players like the Lakers do – and they're high and went Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma. Kuzma didn't play, but Ingram did. And Ingram went against Durant a lot of the game in a good Warriors defense, and he was great. It was his best game, career high. And that's the kind of thing that you go, all right, they're not as good as the Warriors. That's obvious. But you're starting to find individuals that are playing well, and this team is trying to develop. And those are the things that excites a fan base. But that was a fun game. They had their chances to win. Curry was really quiet, then went off in overtime. But it was fun. That was a fun regular season, early season game.
The way the Warriors play, does it feel like they bring out potentially the – I don't want to say they bring out the best. Maybe they bring out kind of a fool's gold offensive performance from other teams. Because the Warriors strike me as sometimes a team right now, you know, with the success that they've had over the course of the last 3 years, that – you can get lulled into a sense of, oh, look, you know, you mentioned Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
Oh, look, Lonzo Ball. You know, he didn't shoot well again. He had 15. I think he had 10 assists. Had a couple of things going for him there. But you start to see points from individuals that you may not normally see points from. And it's like, oh, look, okay, there it is. But it's against the Warriors.
Yep.
And you know the Warriors are trying to get up and down the court. They're trying to score a lot of points, and you get into a position where, oh, well, Kevin Durant comes down and shoot a three. Okay, there's a turnover. Steph Curry comes down and shoot a three. Okay, now we got to start shooting threes. And sometimes when those fall in, maybe the box score looks a little bit different than they might if the Lakers were playing Memphis.
Right.
Or Sacramento or whoever.
Yeah, I think there is something to that in which I think Cleveland's experienced that the last couple of years. Oh, LeBron and the Cavs are coming in. They get everybody's best performance. I just think that's the nature of sports.
Mm-hmm.
It's the nature of a season that's this long where you go, oh, we've got a 4-game homestand, and we'll just pick, you know, a couple of teams. Detroit, Toronto, Minnesota, and Golden State is coming in. Well, what's the fan base excited about? What's the team? What, there's more media attention. The Warriors are there. So I think people get fired up, the team does, and they try to give them their best performance. And conversely, I don't know that the Warriors experience that very often this year, where when they go to a game, what's getting them motivated? Houston maybe the next time? Someone that beat them? And when they host Boston, I'm sure they'll have their attention, their radar a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
Kings just beat them. Next time they play Sacramento, I'm sure they'll send a little bit of a message.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas Day against the Cavs, yeah. But I think it's hard for them. It's the nature of where they are to Wednesday night in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
they know they're the better team to be as engaged in the game as maybe the Lakers were.
And how different is it to play a team? Like you laid out that situation. You used Boston as an example,
yeah,
as well. Boston, you're going to play twice.
Right.
And you know there's a possibility you're going to play Boston 5, 6, or 7 times,
yeah,
late in June or in the middle of June. With the Kings, you're playing them 4 times. Or with the Lakers.
4 times, yeah.
You're playing them 4 times. And then the next time, the next game might roll around. You mentioned a random Wednesday. Well, it could be a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Or it could be a Monday night. Or it could be coming off a game that you had against the Houston Rockets the night before.
Wore you out a little bit or something.
And part of me wonders, the longer this success goes, I look at Cleveland. Or specifically LeBron. The longer this success goes on, everybody was talking about the Cavs a couple of weeks ago. LeBron wasn't.
Right.
You didn't hear, oh, we need this. Oh,
yeah,
we need a playmaker. We need a big man. We need rebounding. I didn't hear a peep from LeBron regarding that type of stuff.
Yeah.
But you heard it from all of us. No, I think you could make a compelling argument. Kings, for example. Lakers, for example. No, because they're not going to, because come May, I'm not going to have to deal with the Kings or the Lakers or any of those types of teams. Boston, yeah.
Yeah.
Cleveland, yeah. Houston, San Antonio, sure.
And I think that there's something different about being either having some new players on your roster or being a team that's relatively new at this. And my point being that is Boston this year. I think every game they're going for, they're trying to have the best record possible. They want to see if they can get to 65 wins, something like that, and be the one seed, maybe have home court as far as possible. Would Cleveland like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are they going to break their backs doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Warriors, the same thing. If the Rockets pass the Warriors and stay past them and get the one seed, I don't think the Warriors will be shaken by that. By the end, it may play itself out, but I think Houston's going for that as well.
And that's kind of what the question that I was asking is, are the Warriors at that point right now where they don't care about that stuff?
I believe so. And I believe we all
thought.
And
Houston would. I think Houston does care about that stuff right now.
Houston should try to have home court as far as they possibly could, as long as it doesn't hurt any, you know, any of their postseason aspirations playing minutes for guys. But if they get 4 games at home in a 7-game series over the Warriors, their chances are better. Doesn't mean they'll beat them, but they're better. And, yeah, I think the Warriors want the one seed, but if they don't get it, I don't think they're fazed by it at all.
Speaking of, 34.9 points per game, 10.1 assist in the month of November. That's James Harden's numbers.
Woo!
10.3 assists, 1 turnover per game in the 7 games he played in November. It's Chris Paul. The Rockets were 12-1 in the 11th month of the year. This is James Harden's MVP year.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to buy in, but it doesn't matter. Like it doesn't matter till we get to May, right? Like we've seen this before. We've seen it from whether it's Phoenix teams. We saw it from Boston winning the Eastern Conference last year. We see it from teams year after year after year who have these, whether it's an individual who has a stellar season. We saw it from the Dallas Mavericks, you know, many years ago against the We Believe Warriors. Where none of this it's fun, and you're trying to enjoy it right now.
Right.
But in the back of your head, you know, it's still the Spurs, and it's still the Warriors. I want to believe that this is important, but I can't until I see them win or, you know, brawl it out for seven games. I can't believe that this matters, but I'm trying to enjoy it.
Yeah, I guess that's the way I feel, too, about Boston, right? I mean, what they've done has been impressive, but I still feel like if they get into a series with Cleveland, Cleveland would be the last one standing. Rockets, I've seen them add toughness. They've added a little different look. They've kept that same DNA of threes, threes, threes. Harden's gotten better. Mm-hmm. We saw him beat the Warriors once. Just could they do it in a series?
Yeah.
That's the big question.
Mm-hmm. But what they're doing is really, really impressive.
It's great. Yeah.
I watched what I believe, memory serves me correctly, a 2 hour and 47 minute basketball game yesterday.
Which in the present day of the NBA is hard. They've been getting these games in just over 2 hours. A few minutes over 2 hours.
101 free throws were shot yesterday between the Washington Wizards and Philadelphia 76ers. I'm going to repeat that. 101 free throws were shot in that one game. I put season totals yesterday for Garrett Temple, Buddy Hield, Bogdan, maybe Frank Mason.
Okay.
I put their season totals. The highest, I think, was Garrett at 27 free throws on the year. Ben Simmons shot 29 free throws yesterday. I didn't know Haka Simmons was a thing, but Washington made it one yesterday.
And it helped in the comeback.
It absolutely helped. They were down by like 30. It was awful. But for some reason, I just kind of sat there, threw it, had it in the background. I was like, okay, oh, there, look, they're foul. Okay, wait, they fouled away from the ball? Okay. Wait, they did it again.
And were they always fouling away from the ball, or was it because Simmons has the ball?
Away from the ball. Huh. 12 straight possessions. The only reason they didn't get the 13th is because they got the ball up the floor too fast. And then by the time they committed the last foul, which was an accidental foul, it wasn't on Ben Simmons. It was on someone else. I can't remember who it was. There was 2:11 left on the game clock, which by the time the Wizards had the ball, once you get below two minutes, you can't foul away from the ball. Because then the Sixers could pick anyone to shoot the free throws.
Right.
So 29 free throws, 12 straight possessions. They actually committed fouls on 13 straight possessions. On 12 straight possessions, they intentionally fouled Ben Simmons. And I don't know why. I found it hysterical.
Well, it's always been a strategy. I know a lot of people hate it. I've actually intrigued by the coaching strategy of it, when you use it, when you call it off. How many makes did he get out of 29 again?
15. He was 15 of 29, and I would say of like the critical last four possessions, he was a lot closer to maybe 6 of 8 out of those last four possessions. But the first 20 free throws or whatever he was shooting,
one of two.
He was a 50%er.
Wow.
And it worked. They kept cutting into the league. It was a really bizarre fourth quarter. Joel Embiid fouled out because he fouled on a three, so he fouled out of the game. I think Bradley Beal got hurt earlier in the game, and he was out. That's when the lead stretched to like 20 or something like that. It was as strange of a basketball game between two good teams that I was looking forward to watching,
right,
as you'd ever see.
NBA at its best.
It was the NBA.
Yeah.
And I don't know about the second part, but it was the NBA. What is at its best, though, is DeMarcus Cousins. There was an ejection yesterday in New Orleans, and it wasn't DeMarcus. But DeMarcus, he won my heart over yesterday, was his explanation of the movie Titanic. I tried to send it to Cam Newton so Cam Newton understood what happened to the Titanic. We'll play it for you. I promise it's worth sticking around for next. I was actually just like, what is he doing? Like, why is it? Oh, the Titanic.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. I'm not the sharpest. We're going to talk with Jody Sayers, Sac State football head coach, here in about 15 minutes or so. Just signed a new deal. I just want to find out if Sac State felt pressure from the University of Tennessee to get this deal done. Was Jody up for the Texas A&M job? What is going on here? Like,
I know we got Herm talking to Arizona State,
and I'm sad about that.
Yeah,
I don't want to lose. I love Herm. I've created a whole business plan for Herm.
Really?
Like, for example, wouldn't Herm Edwards make a great alarm clock?
Yes.
Like you had an app, Herm Edwards. Just like there's a rock clock where the rock wakes you up. It's terrible.
Why?
It's just weird.
Sweet baby.
it's just kind of strange.
Did you pay for it?
No, I didn't pay for it. No.
Really?
You're trying to be a smart ass too.
Well, I know a lot of those you have to pay for the clock app.
Sweet tap dancing baby Jesus. What in the f*** did we just watch?
That would be a fantastic thing to wake up to.
It would be.
But a Herm Edwards clock where he like, hey, and you can like personalize it. J. Ross, time to wake up, man. Come on. Jason, you got to get up. You got a show to do today. You got a station to run. You got to be number one. Anything but number one is not going to work. That'd be awesome.
The bad thing would be it would be at 3:30 in the morning every morning.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Right.
That's when you get
up. You got to wake up when Herm Edwards wakes up.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the rule. We already had the idea that every athlete has to have the Herm Edwards app on their phone.
Yeah.
Like, I've developed a whole strat. I just haven't gotten the chance to pitch it to him yet.
Sure you want
to
hit send? Right. Read it over again.
You know what?
It's after midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it.
It should have a breathalyzer where you breathe into it so it determine the level of alcohol. You could even have a texting app. That way you don't text the wrong person after having a drink or two.
Yeah.
Everybody's run into that. I know you have too, Jason.
I think I need that. Forget the athletes.
No,
I
you
think
do. You, not I think you,
you
do.
You text stuff sober that we're like,
what?
What? I want an app for Chris that just like as soon as he hits send, it just goes no.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Every time Chris sends us a link, I have to determine. I have to determine whether I'm going to invest the next few minutes of my life checking out what Chris sent.
I'm glad I'm that important to you.
What are we doing?
DeMarcus.
Oh, DeMarcus. Thank you. Titanic, bring it back here. This hour is on the way of the Titanic. The New Orleans Pelicans did a fantastic job of posting this clip. I assume this is one of those in-arena deals that you film at Media Day. And this is your boy, many of your guys out there, favorite player, DeMarcus Cousins, explaining the plot to Titanic.
It's about a rich girl. She's about to get married to a rich guy. You know, they plan a nice little cruise out, you know, somewhere in the ocean. Huge ship. So it was a guy, another guy. He goes by the name of Jack. Jack! So Jack, being the player that he was, he finessed the whole situation. He ended up, you know, bagging a girl named Rose. Rose was her name. It was supposed to be, you know, a happily ever after. But the cruise that they were all on, and they ended up hitting an iceberg. The ship, you know, of course it sank. It was devastation everywhere. It was a lot of people out in the water. There was some debris floating around, and it was just this door. It was this one door. Jack, being the player that he was, you know, he let the lady Rose sit on the door so she wouldn't be in the freezing cold water. Rose, she made Jack stay in the water. So Jack froze to death, and Rose lived on to tell this beautiful movie that I'm telling you guys about. Now, do you guys know what this movie is called?
I don't care if you love DeMarcus or hate him. That's awesome.
Yeah. Was he slapping his hands?
That's what it was. What that noise was. He kept slapping his hands over and over again.
Who was a player?
Jack bagged a girl named Rose.
Yeah.
Might be the best tagline of 2017. Yeah.
That's good.
I love DeMarcus
and
for
it
that.
Hit this iceberg and there was debris.
Yeah. It's just. Does DeMarcus know that that like is more than a movie? Do you think?
I don't know.
Because I don't think Cam knew.
Cam clearly didn't know.
I don't think Cam knows anything about the Titanic. After
I hope he watched what we just played.
I sent it to him last night.
Oh, good.
I'm sure he goes. I'm positive Cam goes through all of his mentions.
Yeah.
Positive. So if he just watched DMC right there, what New Orleans should have done, because I'm not going to get his attention, the Pelicans should have sent that to Cam Newton.
Yeah.
And said, hey, Cam, You might want to check this out before you reference the Titanic again in your press conference.
Yeah.
I thought that was great.
That is fantastic.
That
was good, DeMarcus.
That's great, DeMarcus.
Yeah.
He was good on the court. Him and Anthony Davis struggled a little bit. Anthony Davis got hot last night. It's been a bad week for superstars in the NBA. First, LeBron gets tossed. Now we have Anthony Davis, and he got his technicals the old-fashioned way. He got one. He got one, and then got another when he went back for more. Didn't Pop get thrown out this week?
Oh yeah, and he had some good. That was great for the lip readers.
Pop got his money's worth.
Yeah,
he went kiss my butt, but not. Yeah. He went. I don't know why I'm selective about when I use the word ass.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Like sometimes I say it and sometimes I don't. I mean, he dropped some F-bombs in there.
I know the first line for sure that you just said. I don't know if he did the F-bombs.
No, I think he did. Yeah. Okay. I think he, because he went to open your eyes and then made the motion of get your eyes. But I mean, he was right though. If you watch the play, I can completely understand why he was upset.
Yeah.
And I feel like coaches, I don't think players do this, but I feel like coaches in that moment make the decision. I'm done. I'm going to get thrown out. Especially coaches like Pop, Steve Kerr, same thing. I think those veteran coaches make the decision. Right now, all right, I'm out. I'm done with this one. I'm going to get tossed.
Yeah, this might help my team, might not, but I'm done watching this one.
I've been wanting to tell this official what I thought about him for at least three games.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell him right now.
Yeah.
Pop might have been my favorite. That might have been the best ejection of the year.
Yeah, this was pretty good.
And I wonder, do the other coaches, is there like a designated coach that has to you got to get Pop because he's about to go nuts.
Oh, from the Spurs
bench? Like the
bench?
Lead assistant?
Oh,
is that how
it's gotta
works?
Be. Yeah, usually. But if I'm the lead assistant, I keep pushing him out there because then I get to
coach.
Because
then you get to coach the rest of the game.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go for it. You hear what he said about you? Follow up. Keep going. He just said it.
I think you should toss him.
Yeah.
You should probably get him out of here. They went on to the Pelicans went on to lose last night. Both of those guys struggled. Anthony Davis argued with the official. Came back, went to get some more. And DeMarcus Cousins. First, he's funny. Now he's the peacemaker. Bizarro world.
It is.
There for the New Orleans Pelicans. Text line here, 44-11-40. Boogie just spoiled the movie for Cam Newton. Now, he may have. Oklahoma City lost again.
Yeah, that's three in a row. So I thought the win they had over the Warriors was kind of it. That was like, okay.
Turn around.
This is the start. There's too much talent. They played a good team. They played them well. They just demolished the Warriors. I thought, all right, this is the start. They've won since. Three straight.
Maybe they got two up for the Warriors game.
Yeah, could be.
And what was that? Was that the same night as the that was last week? That was like Wednesday or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
maybe they've lost. Maybe they won another one, but I think it's. I don't know that they've won since. To be honest with you,
I mean they're sitting.
No, they haven't.
There's the shot that was going around social media yesterday of Russ just sitting on the bench after the game, seemingly contemplating his entire life. I don't know. How many players-only meetings has this team had so far this year? I don't know.
Not working.
I don't know what's going to click for them.
Yeah. Well, and it is three losses in a row that I mentioned. Pistons, Mavericks, and Magic, though. I mean, Dallas isn't a very good team, and the Magic started great, but then they were in a major slide.
Yeah, the Pistons are playing really well. I think the Pistons put up 131 last
year. Yeah.
That is not Van Gundy ball.
No. Nope.
That is not Van Gundy ball at all, but they put up 131. We're going to dig into the NFL and the Thursday night matchup that we're going to have for you here. Thursday night football on Sports 1140 beginning at 5 o'clock. That's the Dallas Cowboys in Washington live in Dallas. We will have coverage again beginning at 5 o'clock. We're going to dig into that game at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. But Jody Sayre, Sac State football coach, joins us next here on the Lowdown. Get to the NFL here at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. Thursday night football beginning here on Sports 1140 at 5 o'clock. Want to share this text with you here real quick before we get to Sac State football coach Jody Sayers. I think the implosion of the Thunder gives a lot of validity, to why Kevin Durant left. Honestly, I think Russ wants to always be the guy and won't relinquish his hold. When he didn't have to share his toys at the playground, the Thunder were better in terms of record.
They were, that's for sure.
I think at some point I morphed from a Russell Westbrook fan to like a Russell Westbrook defender.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have to defend him now, and I have to defend liking him and thinking that he's a good player. It's bizarre. I mean, he had 37 points last night. He had 11 rebounds. He had 5 assists. He had 5 steals.
He did his part, right?
Now, I understand he had 7 turnovers. He accounted for more than 50% of the Thunder turnovers, but Carmelo shot 16 times. Paul George shot 17 times. I'm not sure. I didn't watch as much of that game as I was like to. Maybe the ball didn't move around enough, but they're 4 games under 500. It's a bizarre situation. Added to more bizarreness was Russell Westbrook basically just sitting there after the game.
Yeah.
It was strange. Happy to bring in Jody Sayre, Sac State football coach, who just signed a contract extension. Coach, first of all, congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. We're happy to have you. Now, were you in line for the University of Tennessee job? Because Jason and I have been contacted about that gig, and we wonder if Sac State got a little worried you might be leaving them.
No, sir. My feet are firmly planted right here in Sacramento, America.
Well, Sacramento, yeah. America. I like it.
Coach, I was just telling Damian, and I know that you can expand on this. Is there a new recruiting timeline? Usually February is the big time. Is there another one coming up here in December?
Yeah, there is. It's the 20th of December. There's a new signing period for us, and that's what we've been doing all week. And I think for some of us, I think it's going to be advantageous for us to keep some kids locked up with that we might have lost at the 11th hour. Which has happened in the past, and so we're going to try to take advantage of it, no question.
Yeah, so why was this done? This was an NCAA rule. Why do they feel the 2 different signing periods? Is it better for everybody?
Well, I think it helps. I just think it helps, like, for us, for the FCS guys. I think it helps in terms of keeping kids committed. At the same time, too, I know the bigger guys are wanting to wrap recruiting up a little bit sooner, I think it's definitely going to be able to do that.
Jason and I have this conversation all the time, Jody. What percentage of your job is recruiting, and what percent, as compared to what percentage of your job is actually coaching football?
Oh boy. Well, your lifeblood's in the recruiting and evaluating kids. I mean, it's really, you're split down the middle. I mean, obviously during the season, you're focused on the game planning and winning football games. But when it comes time to like this time of year, it's all you're all in with recruiting, and your staff's out following up on kids. But the hard work is done in May and in the summer. In terms of compiling your list and getting eyes on kids and evaluating transcripts and really doing a lot of investigating to find out what kid is going to fit in with your program. And it's probably 60-40 recruiting, in my opinion. If you're going to be good, you've got to be able to evaluate talent, and you've got to get them on campus and then get them developed as well.
So, Coach, what does a 7-4 second place Big Sky finish do for you in that department as far as recruiting?
Boy, it sure makes you feel a lot better. I know that, as opposed to being 2-9 and going into some homes and doing the recruiting thing. But the staff and the guys have done a tremendous job the last couple of years, to where I hopefully we can get our foot in some doors that maybe we haven't had to or been able to get in the past. But at the same time, we're gonna do what we do. We're gonna work hard. We're gonna treat people the right way. We're gonna work extremely hard in recruiting. And it's gonna be nice to be able to say, hey, we've been able to, have some success based on these principles, based on this concept that we've been instilling the last 3-4 years. And by the way, we only lost 11 kids, and we got our whole team coming back. And we'd like for you to be a part of it. So, it gives us some validity to, our culture and the leadership that the university and our athletic department has instilled, and the leadership that's in that locker room right now. So I'm really looking forward to it.
How much has recruiting changed over the course of your career?
Probably not a whole lot. When I first started, as a young GA back at Iowa State, I was working for a guy by the name of Dan McCarney, who was a Hayden Fry, Barry Alvarez disciple, and recruiting is all about building relationships, and that part of it I love to do. And when I look back over the past 20 years now, I mean, yeah, you got your social media, you've got, you know, recruiting services, and you've got Huddle, and you've got access to film, which is a lot easier. You don't have the VHS or the VCRs, but really it all comes back to one common denominator. And that's, are you able to build relationships, and are you able to go get the kids that you want that are going to fit into your program?
Knowing our audience, there is a large portion of people that have no clue what a VCR is.
Isn't that amazing?
I'm positive that's accurate.
Okay, DVD.
There you go. Coach, I know you would always say if you're playing a game, you want to be in a position to win at the end. That's the goal of every team, to be in a position. Well, you guys put yourselves in a position this season to make the postseason, yet it relied on a committee. And unfortunately, you guys were not selected for what you were hoping for, the first postseason berth. So what did you tell your guys after that? Because it was a great season, yet they didn't get a chance to continue on.
Well, you know, I was just honest with them. I told them that we were proud of them. And I told them, you know, in any given year, guys, in my experience in the last 20 years, we'd have made it. But I also looked at them and I told them, look, the standard's been raised and it wasn't good enough. You know, we've got to go back to work. Yes, we love our seniors, and they've done a tremendous job of positioning this program into future success and stability. But the standard's been raised, guys. And so, you know what? We need to go in 8. Or maybe it's got to be 9. But whatever it is, we've got to live up to that expectation and build upon it.
Well, Coach, as you said, the hard work for next season begins now. We're happy Sac State locked you up. Happy to have you here on the show. And good luck. Get that recruiting stuff started.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for having me. Stingers up. Go Hornets.
Thanks, Coach.
Absolutely. And congratulations again, Jody Sayers, Sac State football coach, signed a multi-year extension. We'll come back Thursday night football. Week 13 kicks off tonight. We got coverage beginning at 5 o'clock here on Sports 1140, Dallas and Washington, live from Arlington, AT&T Stadium. We will have a preview of that game coming up as we kick off the second hour of the Lowdown next.